Dave Moore on Today FM.
Listen, she's a staple of RTÉ sports coverage, recently wrapped on a successful few weeks covering the Women's Euros. And Marie Crowe will be back on our screens this Thursday with a new three-part documentary series called Football Families. Marie's in the studio to talk all about it. Hey, Marie.
Thanks very much for having me.
Not at all. Thanks for coming in. I'm lucky enough to have seen Thursday's episode of Football Families. I'll let you give the elevator pitch to the listeners to kind of explain what the show actually is. But a three-part documentary on football in Ireland. How did you kind of envision this when you were putting it together?
I have three boys and I have a girl actually as well. She's just born. I can't forget about her. But before I had the baby girl, I had three boys and we always watch sport together. But we found it very difficult to actually find anything that we'd sit down and watch that wasn't live action.
Of course.
So we stumbled across a documentary on Crystal Palace and kids trying to make it as footballers in the Crystal Palace Academy. And we were absolutely glued to it. And I thought after watching that documentary with the boys, that wouldn't it be great to do an Irish version of that, because there's amazing stories. There's kids all over the country who are aspiring to be footballers. There's loads of challenges, loads of pitfalls, but it all comes back to the same thing, that they want to try and make it at the top level. And you all know when kids have dreams, you gotta encourage them, but there's a really harsh reality there as well, and it just makes for fascinating television, seeing people trying to reach a level that is unattainable to pretty much everybody.
What struck me most about this, and look, I have friends who play professional football, so I know this second, I was going to say first hand, definitely second hand, but I know how close you can come and still not reach it. So you can be the best footballer in your team, the best footballer in your club, the best footballer in your town, in your county, even in the country. And then you can make the move to a big club scenario, whether that's in France or Bulgaria or the dream, England in the Premier League. But even then, you can still find yourself in a situation where it's not happening. Or kids who make the grade for Ireland, say, at under 15. Maybe they make it under 18. But then they don't make 21s. Mm-hmm. Or they do make 21s, they never make the first. Like, yet to be for play for Ireland under 15, you must be so brilliant. But at some point, someone else is more brilliant. Like, that's what struck me about this show, is that the kids are so elite, but there are also other elite kids.
Yeah, and they're always coming. There is always somebody waiting in the wings to take your spot. Damien Duff is in the documentary as well, because it's the same time that Shelburne were going to win the league, as well. So that's the backdrop of the documentary. And one line that he says that really stays with me is that you think you made it, but you haven't. Because what's making it anyway? So, like, what is success when it comes to football? And for some people, reaching their potential is that Ireland under 15, and that could be their peak. That could be it. Then for somebody else, they might make a team until they're 18 or 19, and they're the ones then that'll go on and have the professional career. I think Hugo Keenan at the weekend with the Lions scoring that try is a perfect example of it. He was on the Blackrock under 14 C team, and he just scored a winning try in a Lions test match. So you can't write anybody off, and everybody's potential is going to be different. But you just have to encourage them and try and give them every opportunity to fulfill whatever potential they have.
Totally. So the show that you put together called Football Families, and the first episode is Thursday night?
10 past 10.
10 past 10, Thursday night. And do sit down with the kids if you've got them at a certain age and they're up that late. Summertime, every kid's up that late. But it's a fascinating watch. But let's talk about a couple of the players in there, because obviously documentaries like this need to have some kind of a focus. And one of the kids that really stuck out to me is a kid called Killian. He's from Dublin. He's from Howth in Dublin. And Killian is really small. Like, he's really small. He's playing under 15, but he'd be really small at under 13 level. But his ability is so big, and his touch on the ball and his technique means that even though physically he's being shoved around the place, he's able to play at that level because he's so, so talented. I mean, we look at players like Messi and lots of short players who, you know, find their niche, they find their way, and then all of a sudden he could be the best player in the world, like Lionel Messi was. So Killian's a fascinating story. One of the clips I want to play everybody is, you know, because there's lots of challenges that can go along the way, but injury is a key challenge to any athlete. And Killian went through it. Have a listen to this. His mum starts talking here.
I was there at the game and I was watching him, and I saw him going down and I knew straight away. He started pulling at the grass and I was like, okay, that's a bad one. So they got him to the sidelines, and then he kind of went into shock. It was an awful thing to see.
I had two operations on my ankle. I had two plates put into my ankle as well. And yeah, it was a very, I couldn't do anything. Wasn't good. there's definitely worrying because, like, you think, is everyone else there getting ahead of me? They're getting better than me, and yeah, I was just really anxious to get back.
Anxious to get back, but then of course he has to do a ton of physio. He has to try and get his touch back. His, you know, because
the team again.
He would have been playing since he was four, mm-hmm. so he's had 10 years up to that point of never not playing football. And all of a sudden, he could be out for 6 months or whatever it is.
And that's a big thing as well. That I think it goes with all sports that becomes such a big part of your identity. And if that is taken away from you for whatever reason, whether you're dropped from a team or injury, then that's really difficult. And it's difficult for young people, I think, to deal with that as well because they've got such presence online and that now that they're. Footballer from a certain club, and that's what they think is the only thing they have going for them.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a big issue, and I hope that people will learn lessons from watching this program as well. That, you know, you have to be doing other things. It can't be everything because it can be taken away so quickly. But Killian is absolutely amazing. He's Damien Duff's favorite player in the whole club because he always has a ball. He has the ball in the school bag. He has the ball on the bus. He has the ball when he goes on holidays, and he practices 24/7. So what? He might be small, but what he makes up for is his skill ability, but also his determination and his resilience. Mm. And that's one thing I learned from being involved in this documentary over the last while, is that the best thing that you can do as a player, and probably in your career as well, is stay in the game, because you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know where the opportunities are going to come from. But as long as you keep playing and you're there, and even if you're a sub or you're making up the numbers, once you're there, you're already way ahead of most people in the world in what they're
doing. That's such a good point. No, it really is. So we're here with Marie Crowe. We're talking about an amazing show which airs on Thursday night. It is on at 10:15 on RT1, and it's called Football Families. And it's a three-part documentary taking a look at the world of elite underage football. And obviously, the first episode that I saw focused, Marie, on Shelburne, but it focused on boys' football. But the second episode, I saw a little clip of a trailer just as it went into the end of that episode, and there were girls playing football, and I was like, excellent, because one of my questions was, where are the girls? But then I saw the... So presumably that comes in episode two or whatever.
That comes in episode two, yeah. So we have a brilliant girl, Aoife Sheridan, who is from this real big football family, and her dad was a massive football fan, and she was, like many girls, brought to her brother's training sessions. Yeah. She started standing in, started first falling goals, then started moving out the pitch, and all of a sudden they realise, well, she's got something about her, and she's ended up in one of the stars of the documentary. She's brilliant, and again, so determined. She's in an environment now where she's in and around the senior team. She's getting that exposure. She's around the senior players. She's learning a lot. And then you've got her dad on the sideline encouraging her every step of the way. And I love that.
That is amazing. Look, I'll be honest with you. Like, the best thing I've done for myself as an adult is actually coach football. And you give loads 6 days a week. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of thought, but you get so much back from it. And one of my favorite things is that I set up and manage a team for my daughter. So boys have teams, boys have football. It's just, it is second nature. Mm-hmm. It's just taken for granted that there's football teams. There was just no football team for my girls. And I was like, no, this isn't right. So, of course, through a committee meeting, it ends up that, well, then you're going to have to set up the team, blah, blah, blah. So myself and a lady called Michelle did it. And we now have three teams at 2014 level. So they'll be under 11s now next season. But it just goes to show the hunger is there. Like, there's a squad now of 40 girls born of that age, just in Portmarnock, where I live, who never had football before. And now it's completely natural. They have it. The 2015s, the 2016s, they all are now coming up, and there's teams there, and there's 2012s and other age groups as well, of course. But just the fact that we can now create a conveyor belt, I just think women's football is going through such a growth spurt. It's still so far from where it should be, so far from where we hope it will be. But even the women's Euros that you just covered now at the weekend, and obviously you covered the final. I mean, Lucy Bronze playing with a broken leg, and she's still able to play through the England just hanging on through every knockout round until the final, and they hung on again, and they're back-to-back Euros winners. Like, I know England aren't Ireland, and we wish Ireland were in there, and we wish it was, we're talking about those teams, but we are so connected to England geographically. We watch their football. You know, I was watching the three Man United players playing for England. That was why I was supporting them. You know, like, it is so good to see it be covered in the way it's supposed to be covered and become second nature to the girls who are now growing up in this environment.
Yeah, it's just football now, which is fantastic. But definitely I want to pick you up on the point about the girls' teams, because boys take it for granted that they can go out their front door and turn left or right and find a football team. That is not the same for girls. And the fact that you had to go and set a team up is just mind-blowing in the area that you are in, where you would think that there is opportunities there.
Yeah.
I grew up in a village in Six Mile Bridge and there was no team for me anywhere close by at all. So I was lucky. I have four sisters and my mum and dad drove us to Ennis to go and play football. So we were going driving 30 minutes and my parents had seven children. But they gave us that opportunity because it was the right thing to do. Mm. Not everybody had those opportunities. So the fact now that your girls can walk out their front door and there's a football team, it's just brilliant. And I'd love to hear more of that and see more of that, because it's definitely still not there yet.
And particularly, I think, for girls of a certain age where they can play with other girls, because mm-hmm. there's always the opportunity for a girl who's a year older to play in a boys' team. And listen, for the elite girls, I think that's probably a really good pathway. As you said, you know, it hardens you, it strengthens you, it offers you challenges you may not get. But for the girls who play at a normal level of football, they want to play against other girls. They don't want to play against lads. And there's, in the same way that the boys don't really want to, I know when I coach my boys' team and a girl lines up for the opposition, they're all a bit like, oh. And you can see them thinking mm-hmm. in their head and they second guess whether they should challenge or whatever. And I'm like, lads, she's a footballer, you're a footballer. Forget about boys and girls. Just if a footballer has a ball, tackle the footballer. Mm-hmm. I don't care what gender she is. But you need to kind of, there is separation there. And therefore, I think when the girls can play with other girls,
it's a different motivation, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So girls play, there is of course the elite and they want to go on to play for Ireland and they want to go and become professionals, but there are girls there that play because they want to enjoy it, they want to be with their friends, they want to feel good from it, they want to feel part of something as well. I think that's really
key.
Important. And like research over the years has shown that parents generally, more often than not, will encourage their boys more than their girls into sport, and that's a big drawback for girls, because if a girl decides she wants to quit, parents often go,
let
okay,
her.
That's fine. Whereas if the boy says, I'm giving up football, it's like, oh my gosh, no, you can't. You know, we need to get John O'Shea on the phone to give you a voice message to say you have to stay in this as long as possible. Whereas girls are treated a little bit differently, and
so
I think
true.
It shouldn't
and
be
it
the
shouldn't
way.
Be. Yeah, you should be encouraged. And there are all those stats you say about the dropout, particularly in teenage girls, when it comes to team sports and sports in general. And like, that's our kind of mission, I guess, in the club I'm in, the age group I'm in, is that if we can end up with two 11-a-side squads when they become under-13s, like, that's unheard of. You know, that'll be such a stepping stone for this, and we hope that it will get it. We'll see if we can.
As many as possible for as long as possible.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Well, look, the documentary is genuinely fascinating. It is really good. It is on this Thursday, 10:15. It is called Football Families. But speaking of football families, I'm going to play a silly little game with you now, Marie. You knew you weren't coming in here and getting off scot-free. So we're going to play Football Family Fortunes. So you know Family Fortunes, the way it works. We surveyed a bunch of people. We asked them a question. You have to try and get as high a score as you can with your answer to match the high-scoring answers of our audience that we asked. Now, we don't have 100 people in the office. We had 10. So I went around and asked 10 people in the office. And I'm going to ask you the questions and see if you can match up with what the most popular answer was. So name one thing that your kids will forget when heading out the door for football training.
Water bottle.
Is not number one, but I will give you, it's in the middle. It's 3 out of 10 people said water bottle, 2 said gum shield, 5 people said shin guards. The amount of times, like, I have to have at least 3 pairs of shin guards in the bag for the people who forget the shin guards every single week. Okay, another one. Name one thing you will hear on the sideline when watching a kid's football game. Comments.
Pass. Shoot.
See, you're too well invested in this. What you hear is, look at the size of that kid there. There's no way she's under 12. That's number 3.
I'm looking at it from a coaching perspective. Same as you.
From number 2, you'll see, what's the score again? Parents are always asking that question. And the number 1 answer for this one, I think, is because a lot of people we asked have kids, is, can I have a snack?
I think I need to adjust my mindset for this game.
Yeah, possibly so. Okay, this one is definitely as a parent, right? Name one thing you will bring with you when watching your kids play football.
This is the hardest game I've ever played. I'd bring a coffee, but...
That's the right answer. Coffee, top answer. Well done. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, that was number one was a... one answer out of 10 was a snack. 2 said a pair of gloves, but 7 people said a flask of tea. So we're definitely going to give you a round of applause. You are the champion of Family Fortunes. Marie, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
And listen, thanks for making this documentary, because I think, as you said at the very beginning, if you sit down with your kids and watch a show like this, it's completely suitable for kids, but also it gives them, I think, an idea of how elite sport, how difficult that can be, but also how aspirational it can be to just do your best on your team, at your sport, your activity, whatever it is, and just get out there. It's a great thing you've done. So fair play to you. Marie Crowe, thank you so much.
Dave Moore on Today FM.